No. We'll do it live!
Fuck it!
Hey there, cats, kittens, welcome to yes, 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 another edition of me walking with the dogs. My name is Mike, and I got two dogs at halfguarded.com. Woo! I don't think I've actually put up any of the, now it is three episodes that I've already recorded prior to putting this up. So I'll have four in the can. How do you like them apples? Plus one we just did with Grady, which is up. We have potentially some big interviews coming up. Probably could have some right now if I was a little more on the ball. I just don't care. I really don't. I don't give a fuck. I know it drives traffic. I know it doesn't. I hate this temporary bullshit. Everybody in a rush. Let's get an interview with the new hot guy. Oh, this will be a big breaking story. Yeah, we are going to rush. Ugh. This world's fast enough as it is. We should all just take a break, relax, walk your dogs while you yell into a microphone that Steve Jobs invented, because he invented the microphone. There's a kid playing with a sword here. Huh. But yes, it's me and the boys and me trying to figure out what to talk about, because, I don't know, I can't walk dogs and not be talking. Gotta always be talking, gotta always be doing something. Walking dogs, come on dogs, let's go boys, come on Sam, come on Mickey, let's go. I'm wearing sweatpants with a hole on the butt, so this might technically be a hate crime, not a hate crime, a sex crime. I'm going on a list, yeah, I'm going on a list, yeah. If you... Something, put it on the list. If it's something, put it on the list. Yeah, how about that, everybody? So then, this is the show here at halfguarded.com. I am Mike Coffin, as I mentioned before, even though nobody gives a fuck, because if you're listening this far still, you're one of the few and far between dedicated souls who give a shit and enjoy this thing. But I do this for you. I do! For the accolades, for the madness that I produce. I wonder how many old listeners are still around. I would like to hope that I retain some of them. Probably should have done more Road Rage Radio. People really like that shit. I should... Oh, if only I made enough money from this website where I could take like one road trip a week. Can you imagine how great it would be if I was in a profession that toured? Like if I was like an indie wrestler or comedian, ooh, or rock star... So I constantly had long drives. Man, I'd be belting this shit out all the time. But it'd be like a little better quality and far more dangerous. That's not true. Nothing's as dangerous as a puggle. Plus, you gotta figure, if I started doing this regularly, like once a week in the car, I would fucking mic my car up. Which, now that I think about it, sounds like the best idea I have ever had. You imagine a cop stops you, and I got a condenser mics hanging from each, from the rearview mirror, from each side door, whatever, and the cop just being like, what the fuck is this? And be like, sorry, officer, I'm important. You don't see Rush Limbaugh taking time off in the middle of the day, do you? No, he works. But yeah, sure, he goes to his studio. This is my studio. Serenity now. Fuck you. Ah. I just had a call back to something that ended in the 90s. I wonder how well Seinfeld holds up. Like, it would be an interesting experiment. Only because, one, it was so perfect for the moment it was in. Like, we didn't give a shit about it. It really was a show about nothing. The world was about nothing. Well, at least America was. We were just going along, doing our thing. And then, blammo, they blew up the World Trade Center. Then, now, everything is about something. I don't know what's going on. But this world's really fucked up. But maybe it's not. You know, I keep thinking it is. But I don't really know if it is. I suspect maybe I'm just falling into the trap of everybody. As they get older, they assume that the world was better the way it was. And I know that's not true for some people. A lot of people. The gays. The blacks, despite their movement. Their lives have mattered. They've never mattered as much. this is a pretty good time to be black and gay. And, I mean, we have national outrages over where, like, about, I don't know, 500,000 people, at most, can piss and shit. Like, anybody gives a fuck about, like transgendered issues should really be high on the list of anybody's fucking priorities. Not to say that for those people it's not important, but let's face it. Where you got a country of 330 million people with, you know, banks and tanks. Ooh, that rhymes. I wonder if that's like a good rap lyric. Some of the banks. Hillary Clinton, she's all about the banks. Hillary Clinton, she'll send in the tanks to Russia. I don't really know what kind of rap that is. It only works to Clinton, too. Donald Trump, he's all about the rump? Donald Trump, he'll just take it. Now, how do you rhyme Trump? Rump, that's not bad. Dump is the obvious one comes next. Hump. Oh, Donald Trump, he's all about the rump. Donald Trump, you're his to hump. Yeah, baby, yeah, yeah, yeah. We're doing politically themed rapping or poetry or whatever you want to go with. So, yeah, like I said, though, I don't know if the world's better or worse. We're living longer and all this stuff. On the other hand, I look around, I'm like, and again, the whole fucking election here, it's been fascinating. It's, I don't know. I guess this is what happens when you have the new age, the new internet age. You had, I mean, people are going to look back at this. You guys think Hillary's shit. Uh-uh. See, to me, I wonder. Everybody's reading these tea leaves, and they're all assuming this is, you know, bad news for the Republicans and so on and so forth. But they're downvote, they're polling fine. It's just at the top of the ticket, because at the top of the ticket, well, it's Donald Trump. And he's, I really think a lot of people don't even look at him as a Republican. Like, nobody talks about Trump as being the Republican nominee, only in the sense of, like, really, you guys did this? So much as I feel like almost everybody's giving the world a pass on this one. Because they have to. Like, if they want to blame the Republican Party, then they have to acknowledge that they sucked ass at their job. So the alternative is just basically say, you know what? Nobody could see this shit coming. We don't know what's going on. He's a weird one in the history of America. Which he kind of is, but he isn't really. Some of those campaigns back in the day got really nasty. Election of 1800. I believe going around is really bad. So, is that right? 1800? I don't know. So, yeah, there's a helicopter. I tried to look shit up before I went for the walk with the boys here. So I'm like, oh, what should I talk about? And like, MMA-wise, there's really nothing given that I'm recording this on a Thursday. Grady and I did the show less than 24 hours ago. I was going to say 12 hours ago, and then I realized that I don't know what 12 hours means. Yeah, I know. Oh, are you taking a shit right there in the corner? You bad dog. Like, really? At the corner? There's fucking four streets here, you ass. And multiple... stupid dog. Okay, whatever. I'm not picking it up. So, the only thing was Conor McGregor basically said, yes, of course I'm going to drop one of the titles. He just said, can we all just let me do it first so I can just take the picture with me holding both belts? Can I enjoy it just for half a day even? Can we do that? So, he's like, oh, I always do what's best for business and blah, 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 blah. So, he knows. He knows what's what. Now, the question is, which belt does he drop? I would imagine, oof. You know, that's actually an interesting, I mean, logic tells you that he drops the heavier one. But I could see him saying, you know what, fuck this. I'm the one, I'm 145 pounder. I proved that I can go up to lightweight and do it. Now I'm going to go back down to 145. I proved myself, etc. Because the matchups at 145, they're more favorable to him. You know, the only great wrestler is out for a couple years. 155, though, I mean, it's like, there's not a lot of there is. There's tons of talent. And there could be guys that are pretty good. Mickey, you're not going underneath that fence. But it's like, if you win the title in your first fucking defense, it's Khabib and Nurmagomedov. Are you fucking serious? It's almost, not almost, it is insulting in many respects. Just the idea of, you know, as a consumer, and I haven't,
I don't really care about Khabib one way or another. He's close to earning a title shot. If he beats Michael Johnson at UFC 205, so be it. But it's like, I don't know. The biggest fighter, I mean, if Conor was to win the title and be a two-division champion, winning that main event of UFC 205, Madison Square Garden, I mean, he's already probably the biggest fighter in MMA history. He would for sure be up there right then and there. I mean, yes, Brock has did huge numbers, and Chuck did. I mean, actually, it's one of those things that before everybody goes too crazy about Conor and how much of a draw he is, and he has been. He's had a great 2 years here. Really had like a great year and a half, a little over a year. Because it was just last. I mean, because basically his Conor McGregor's reign as an undisputed draw begins when halfcarded.com does. That was July in 2015. So he really hasn't, I mean, again, he's been super popular before that, but he's only made an event in pay-per-view soon. And he's done, fucking four of them already, which is impressive as shit. And he'll do five, and they'll all do, you know, a million or close to it. I can't remember what the one with Mendez did. I don't know if that did a million or not. But everything else doing a million. These are huge numbers. They're unheard of. I don't know if anybody's ever had five. I mean, you got to figure. I don't know what the Mendez one was a million. We'll just say it wasn't. But we'll presume that he gets at least one more million pay-per-view fight, which really means two. But we figure he's got at least one, probably two or three minimum, if he wants it. I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever had five or six pay-per-views that all drew over a million while in the UFC. I mean, Brock had a lot. He only had a couple that did over a million, close enough to it that I'm considering it a million. Ronda doesn't. She doesn't have it yet. Chuck is probably higher up than, well, kind of. Chuck has a lot. And I think Chuck's one of those guys, like, you can look at, you go, that's a popular motherfucker. Because even after he was done, couldn't, you know, knock out a broomstick. Couldn't beat a one-armed Rich Franklin. He was still drawing. And he doesn't have the gift of gab like Conor does either. It's just, people liked Chuck. They wanted to do fuck Chuck. That's charisma. But still, I mean, again, Conor McGregor, he could be the biggest star in the history of the sport. And yes, you just came off elevating yourself to a level that the UFC has never had in a champion, in a fighter, ever. The sports themselves rarely have. There are very few men who've ever reached Conor's stature, let alone the stature he'd be at if he used to win two titles at one time in any sport. This is Brady in his prime, Bonds in his prime. I don't know, not quite Michael Jordan or anything like that. Well, I mean, this is about as big as it ever is going to get. Mike Tyson, I mean, I think Conor's doing over $2 million for this pay-per-view. I could see him continuing to do really high I could see him having $1.5 million as a base. This is getting into those historical levels, and you're going to turn around and have his first fucking fight when he's achieved this new plateau of amazingness. His first fight, his first title defense is the greatest who's ever lived. It's going to be Khabib or Magomedov. Bullshit. I mean, bullshit. Are you fucking kidding me? Khabib? Like, people are going to turn into SportsCenter and they're going to see the hype for the Muslim from some part of maybe Russia whose name they cannot pronounce or spell fighting against Conor. Really? Come on, boys. Let's go. Come on. Come on. Come on, boys. Like, I just, I don't know. The Irishman versus the Muslim man. I mean, two non-Americans. I mean, it shows, I guess, how the UFC really works, which I think is kind of cool because, you know, I mean, there's a Donald Trump sign out front. It's different than Hillary's has got that weird H with the arrow indicating forward. I don't like it. I think it reminds me of something. It just looks kind of cheesy. The rest of these are okay. Trump Pence, though, it's an interesting design. It's kind of slick. I wonder if it was done by one of Trump's people as opposed to normal political people, just because it's got, there's something about it, it's just Trump. Like, you don't need to do anything else. It didn't say Donald Trump, it didn't say Republican, it didn't say anything. Just Trump, Pence, make America great again. Like, everybody else has Breen and little Peter and a bunch of, there's a Republican, there's state representative, like, you know, everything. Leslie Munger, who's running for comptroller. I think she's the one that I really want to vote for in Illinois here. Because I think that she's the one that said, as comptroller, part of, and I guess she has constitutional authority to do so, she's allowed to just not pay people. And she said, if these fuckers in Springfield, Illinois, don't get a balanced budget, they don't get paid. That's pretty cool. I don't know. The rest of Illinois' politics, who gives a fuck? Tammy Duckworth and Mark Kirk. They're basically more or less the same. They're two people whose careers have basically been, I was in the military, I was in the military, I was in the military. Duckworth says, I was in the military and I got injured. I don't have any legs or some shit. That's yeah, pretty sympathetic. It doesn't make you shit for a politician, but whatever. And Mark Kirk was, I was in the military. It's like a fucking sea captain or some shit in the Navy. And then he had this bad stroke. But he's come back to fight from this. So they both, the military people, look a little fucked up. And position-wise, they're pretty kind of close. I don't trust Duckworth. I mean, I don't trust most Democrats. I feel like Duckworth has always been somebody that's been funneled to her position. Like, it was just very obvious. Somebody's like, holy shit. Because this is like the height of the Iraq war and stuff when I think she first emerged. It's like, we got a Democrat who got her legs blown off in a blue state who could talk up issues and nobody could say anything because she's a fucking Democrat. She's a fucking war hero. I guess she's a war hero. I sound like Donald Trump. No, I don't know. I prefer my heroes not to get their legs blown off. Flash Thompson. Yeah, I mean, Mark Kirk, but like I say, I always felt like Duckworth was a little funneled into it. Whereas Kirk, he is a very, very moderate Republican, and he's never been a huge favorite, I would say, like your general Republican establishment. Like, you look at your Democrat establishment, they see Tammy Duckworth, they're fine with it. I know. There's maybe one person listening to this who knows I'm talking about. Half a person maybe cares whether or not they've aborted the baby or not. I'm assuming the half aborted baby cares. Because they do it in stages. Imagine how awful that'd be. Like, instead of abortion being a one fell swoop, it's like, alright, you come in every couple weeks. 1 week we're gonna chop off the baby's arms, and it's just gonna be in there without arms. The next week, no more legs, and it's just gonna be a little giant tadpole. And then we're just going to hit it in the head real hard to make it dumb. So that it, you know, so we're not killing anything intelligent. And then we cut off its head. Then we remove the body but leave the head. And finally, we remove the head. That's right, I'm making abortion more gruesome. But yeah, I never feel like, I mean, maybe, I'm sure, look, they're all politically connected, they're all hacks, they're all jokes. It seems like Kirk has always been a little bit more against the establishment. So I don't give a fuck. One of them's gonna be my senator. With Dick Durbin, who's a useless piece of shit. Dick Durbin sucks ass. He really does. What did I start off talking about all this? I was walking and talking. Connor's thing. Yeah, and the absurdity of Khabib facing Conor McGregor. Just fuck me, man. Like, that's where that's weird. It's like, the natural next fight, Conor wins that title. He faces Nate in a rubber match with the UFC lightweight title at stake. It wouldn't make a lot of sporting sense, but fuck me, that's just gigantic. That's as big as it gets. But the thing about the Nate fight is that you can basically always hold it off. And so long as you don't wait too long, people are always going to want to see those two go at it. That's your fucking trilogy. So, hey, they'd have another wrinkle, a title at stake. And fuck Khabib. You beat Dos Anjos. You barely got by, fucking biggest man in the world, pound for pound, Clayson Tebow. And you out-wrestled Abel Trujillo in one of those fake things. It's stats. It's not right. Yeah, I've ranted about it. God, I'm almost home. I gotta make another lap or something. I don't feel like I hit any of my talking points on this show. Like, seriously, what am I doing with my life? I mean, guys, what do we do here? I mean, last couple of episodes, we answered the questions of God. We talked about everything Australia. This one has just been totally wandering around, just shooting my mouth off about bullshit. I don't really want to. There's nothing to talk about politically. If you believe Hillary Clinton has the nomination, I'm sorry, the presidential election sewed up. That said, in this election, who can tell? That was an overall point I was going to make. Everybody's looking at Trump as a bad thing. I think everybody gives Trump a pass, whereas in 4 years, the Democrats are going to be stuck with Hillary. And she's a terrible candidate. She's literally, maybe literally, facing the one Republican challenger that she could beat. Because her unfavorability ratings are still at historic highs. She's never really seemed to gain any ground. Her only momentum ever seems to be after campaign conventions, a little bounce, in the debates, a little bounce, but nothing ever huge. She's remained consistent, but she's basically taken one of the few paths to the presidency where she's just saying nothing. She's just saying enough to get Donald to react and act like an idiot. Okay, there's a fucking dog over there. I hope there's a gate. Otherwise, we're going to have a problem. I got two beasts, and there's only one, motherfuckers. Okay. Oh, you're on a leash. Fuck's sake. Come on, let's go across the street. It's a fucking pit bull puppy. Yeah, you're great, you fucking assholes. You're a violent dog. This is a fucking violent dog. But in 4 years, the Republicans won't have Trump. He ain't staying around. Trump is not leading anything. He's not some bellwether candidate. This is a sign of a change. I mean, it could be, but I don't think it is. The Republican parties had they had the Tea Party movement, and then they had Trump here. There's something within the Republicans, and even the Democrats a little bit with Sanders. That's a dissatisfaction with the way that the establishment's been going. But again, in 4 years, they can just put out, anybody, and they'll have the difficulty of running against the incumbent, but I can't imagine Hillary's going to get more popular. Now, what she may do is, as long as she does something competent, I know that's wind, I don't care. She'll probably win a re-election as long as things are okay. But if things are like they are right now, and she runs, and the Republicans have somebody relatively charismatic and accomplished who's not a complete idiot, and it wasn't totally out insane, they could just easily beat her. Like, this is not the death of the Republican Party. Now, it could be the kind of like out of nowhere, nobody really understood at the time. The death of a party is so fucking stupid. I see this shit all the time. Everybody's always talking about the deaths of this and that. And that dickhead's like, how could the Republicans win without Kansas or whatever? Is that Lawrence? I can't remember. But everybody's proclaiming, oh, the Republicans are dying off because they're not winning these minorities at such a high rate. But then they're winning this group and that group and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, shut up. My go-to for everything. Shut up. It's like prior to 9/11, the Republicans polled something like 90% plus of Muslims in America. 9/11 happened, things switched, sure. But it goes to show how quickly things can change, depending on an issue. Right now, yes, blacks polled 90% towards Democrats, which I think is fucking up. I think any group, basically, that polls that high towards one party consistently, there's something fucked up about that. It's not like they're a one-off, either. It's like every single time. I mean, I always joke that you couldn't find 90% of defense contractors who would vote for a Republican. But there's another one for me. Still, again, in 4 years, Hillary could be the only one left for the Democrats. And remember, Clintons aren't Democrats, they're Clintons. They have a lot of enemies within the Democratic Party. Like, a lot of them. Like, they basically created them versus the party. And, hey, it fucking worked. 2 terms for Bill, probably at least 1 for Hillary. I don't know what else you could want. Plus, they got, like, hundreds of millions of dollars. Not a bad return of investment. Can't really give them too much shit. But I don't care. I don't know. Hillary will be like 74. That's right, 74 when the next election starts. So I think she'll be the oldest person to ever run for president at that time. Because Reagan, I don't think, was that old in his second term. He may have been that old at one point, second term, but now he started. I mean, he should be pushing 78 when the fucking thing ends. 78? Man, that's fucking old. So yeah, I don't think she's going to do that. But, but she'll be the incumbent, so they're going to have to go with her. I think she already seems like she'll be a weak incumbent. Welcome, everybody, to Decision 2020. Dun-dun-dun. Do-do-do-do. Gonna wash my hands. Do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do. And I'm kind of itchy because I haven't showered like in 2 days. That's disgusting. And I don't care because I hate minorities. They are so evil to me. Minorities, I don't like you minorities. I'm gonna end the show this way because it's funny to me, because you're a minority and you guys are puggles. Puggles, you've been with me as we did 25 plus minutes. Yeah, grab my balls, yeah, suck my chode, or toad if I had one. Anyways, we're going to end this edition of the singing song program. I once had an idea to do an entire podcast, nothing but a musical. And maybe I'll do it someday, but not tonight. Today we say adieu to whatever the fuck this was. It's free content. Fuck you. Halfgrudded.com. Peace out, motherfuckers.
Aggressively, we all defend the role we play. Regrettably, times come to send you on your way. We've seen it all, bonfires of trust, flash floods of pain. It doesn't really matter, don't you worry, it'll all work out. No, it doesn't even matter, don't you worry, that ain't what it's all about. We hope.